Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how are you guys doing? We are live for another episode of In Between the Lines. Crazy beginning to March Madness, something that you never can write. Roscoe, anything to describe everything that went on last week?
Besides the fact that I was completely wrong with my bracket, mostly everybody else, I think the brackets just, they were busted on the first day. I mean, three games in and, you know, you had, I think, UAB beating Iowa State and Georgia State beating Baylor within the first three games. And Notre Dame won by 2 points, so every game was incredibly close and it was just a wild first weekend. But, I mean, you expect that with March Madness, but you don't know what to expect except that you expect some upsets to happen, and it was just more and crazier than usual this year.
I'll go through the first round of games, and I'll try to recap some stuff. Which first round game, round of 64, struck you as most surprising? Would it be Baylor, Georgia State, Iowa State, SMU losing dramatically on a goaltending? Would it be any of those games, or was there another game that really stuck out as odd to you in the first round?
To me, if we're talking out of the bigger upsets, I think it would definitely be UAB over Iowa State caught my eye most. I think we talked about Georgia State a little more than UAB. We didn't. We knew they had a few playmakers on that team that could help them out, and so the Iowa State UAB game really struck my eye. And I mean, UAB, they just came out aggressive and caught Iowa State sleeping. However, the game that was really interesting and most intriguing, I guess you could say, was probably the SMU-UCLA game coming down to the last second on it was the right call that was made with the goaltending call. Just a boneheaded play by SMU's big man to go up and touch that ball. So, you know, UCLA ends up moving on. But those two were definitely the most intriguing games, and they came out of the same bracket. But, I mean, the whole round was really interesting. I mean, you had a North Carolina State LSU game that went down to the wire, Cincinnati-Purdue that went to overtime, Louisville and UCI was a close game all the way through. Many good games, things you look for in the tournament, and definitely a great show in the first weekend.
How about Georgia State ending the game on a 13-0 run? Was that, I mean, to me, that was one of the best basketball games I've watched in a while. How'd you see that game?
Well, I mean, I watched that game. I mean, I think I've caught every game in the first weekend, especially in the round of 64. I think I at least watched 2 or 3 minutes of the basketball game for every game except a few of the blowouts. So I tried to catch every game, some of it at least. Baylor and Georgia State, I did catch more of that one, had more implications on my bracket. But I felt like just Baylor gave that game away. Ricardo Gathers missed a dunk within the last 2 minutes. They couldn't get a shot to fall. Really rushed things toward the end. I think they missed 3 or 4 free throws in the 1-on-1 situation. And, I mean, Georgia State, R.J. Hunter really made a great shot at the end of the game to put them up with, I think, a second left. And, you know, you're going to have the picture of Ron Hunter falling out of his scooter/chair on the sideline, and that'll be a definite image that will be in your mind this whole tournament. So, I mean, that game was definitely interesting, and the closing was really incredible by Georgia State. But I felt like a lot of the games had really good points in them, and they were all interesting. I mean, that's what you get with March Madness. We didn't even talk about the Ohio State VCU game, which was incredible, and I think that one went to overtime as well. And D'Angelo Russell took over in overtime, and VCU fell short, who I think we were both believers in when we filled out our brackets. I think we thought VCU was going to win that game. But
I had Ohio State.
Okay.
Just a shout-out. But I know I do agree with you. VCU is a good team. Yeah, big injury, one of their players. I'd have to go back and look at his name. But D'Angelo Russell just turned it on. You know, in the round of 32, you called it, Wichita State performed. Just they played a hell of a game against Kansas. And, you know, another great game, Notre Dame and Butler. I don't know if you got a chance to watch that game Saturday night. Hell of a game. I enjoyed watching that game start to finish. You know, Wichita State and Notre Dame meet up, and that's – I'm not going to easily see Wichita State making it to the Elite Eight. You know, how did you judge that Wichita-Kansas game? You know, are you taking it with a grain of salt, or do you think they're a serious contender, you know, in this tournament?
I think Wichita State's going to be a contender in whatever tournament they get in because, with this roster and lineup because they have lots of experience. But like I said, I picked Wichita State to beat Kansas because they would come out and this was a game they've been wanting the whole time. You know, Kansas hasn't scheduled Wichita State in 7 years after Wichita State's been asking, so they got the game they wanted, and they came out and played a great game, and I called this one, but I don't see them beating Notre Dame. Notre Dame, I think they're too hot, and they keep finding ways to win. It's going to be a great game. I think that's probably going to be the best game in the Sweet 16, is the Notre Dame-Wichita State matchup. Would you agree on that?
I think I can agree to that. I'd either think Oklahoma State or Michigan State really has my eye, and even Louisville and NC State. You have a lot of great matchups. Going into the, I guess before we make our round of our Sweet 16 predictions, who do you think has played the best basketball for the first two games? You know, who do you think is the hottest coming into these games?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think we can agree that Kentucky is the best team, and we're still going to say that. But the team who's really impressed me, and we mentioned them coming off a strong Big Ten tournament, they got hot, and that's Michigan State. Izzo gets this team, he just builds them for March and continues to have them working, and he gets them ready for tournament play. So with that being said, they've impressed me probably the most, beating Virginia, who I had going to the Final Four, not only the Final Four, to the National Championship, proved a lot to me. So with that being said, I'm giving them the upper hand, and picking them is the most impressive team right now.
I'm really liking Arizona. I think Arizona's remaining hot. No one really picked them, and I just love the way they're playing. Great ball movement, great team defense, great inside game. I love the way they're playing. I think that matchup potentially against Frank Kaminsky in Wisconsin will be an amazing game. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, I mean, Arizona did draw, you know, a lucky matchup, a favorable matchup in Xavier, but, you know, I think that they can still you know, prove themselves further. So I really like Arizona, but Michigan State as well looks very good. What team in the Sweet 16 do you think just, I mean, honestly, I mean, I think every team in the Sweet 16 really has a shot to win. Do you think there's any team in the Sweet 16 who really shouldn't be there and you think really doesn't have much of a chance to win?
If I had to pick a team, I'd say UCLA, but many people thought they shouldn't have been in the tournament in general. They doubted them when they got in, and they beat SMU, and then they get a lucky draw and play UAB, who upsets Iowa State. And I mean, out of all the teams, looking at it from top to bottom, I think they're by far the worst team in the Sweet 16. And I'm not just saying that because they're playing against Gonzaga, who I'm a fan of, but they are the lowest seeded team. And they really didn't show much throughout the year. And I guess they kind of in the Sweet 16 by luck. So if I had to pick a team, it would be UCLA.
I do agree with your reasoning. And yeah, I guess I can say UCLA as well. I could say Xavier, but I mean, Xavier is always in the tournament. And interesting fact, this is Xavier's fifth Sweet 16 appearance since 2007. So, I mean, the team does get the job done, so I'm really not going to take much away from Xavier. UCLA, I do agree. I think Gonzaga's got a favorable matchup and potentially could lead into a matchup that I really can't wait to see, which could hopefully be Gonzaga-Duke. I would love to watch that.
That would be a great shootout game. I think I hope to see that one in the Elite Eight. That would be a very interesting game to watch.
We can start our predictions from here on. I guess I'll start up with Kentucky and West Virginia. Kentucky, a team I knew that was going to be there. I mean, we both knew that. West Virginia, not so much. I really did think West Virginia was going to lose to Maryland. They played them very well. West Virginia is starting the game off in the wrong way. I don't know if you heard Dexter Miles Jr., West Virginia's forward, came out
already
and said,
coming out
we're
of the state, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to beat them. Salute to them being 36-0. They're going to be 36-1, talking all that smack. Not a good idea, and I don't like it at all. What is your opinion on that? Players speaking out about an opponent who's obviously superior than them. Do you think this is firing up West Virginia, or do you think it's firing up Kentucky?
I think it's West Virginia trying to come out and say, we're not scared to face Kentucky. And you see it in every sport when, a team goes up against, when you have a David and Goliath matchup, I think it's West Virginia just trying to build themselves up and get some confidence in themselves. Kentucky knows who they are. I don't think it's firing them up any. They're going to come out and they're going to be the best team in that matchup tomorrow. West Virginia, on the other hand, they got to come out and prove something. So I think what this guy's trying to do is just fire up his team and trying to give them a little hope and telling them they have a chance. It's going to be tough going up against Kentucky, and we'll see how they fare out, but I think it's more of an aspect for West Virginia to get fired up.
I think it's firing up the wrong team. I think it's just going to fire up Kentucky more. That's a gritty group of guys, and I think that's going to give them more determination across West Virginia. I think it's going to put West Virginia's backs against the wall, make them think they got to do something. I watched the West Virginia Buffalo game. They didn't impress me as much as I thought. I think they're just riling Kentucky up. I don't think they're gonna really take lightly to that. You know, it's a good big group of guys, and I think that they'll kind of show them up tomorrow. In my opinion, I think Kentucky's gonna beat them bad. And I guess we'll start off with the predictions. I do think Kentucky will win this game to move on to the Elite Eight. Do you have that agree? Do you agree, Roscoe? Do you think Kentucky is going to pull it out, or West Virginia?
I think Kentucky's going to pull it out. I haven't been a fan of West Virginia. I thought they were going to get bounced in the first round. Buffalo couldn't pull off the upset. I thought Maryland was going to beat them. West Virginia wins that one. I think this is where West Virginia's train of proving me wrong comes to an end. I have Kentucky moving on to the Elite Eight as well.
We have Notre Dame and Wichita State. Another great game. You know, Notre Dame looked awesome. They're shooting the ball. They're shooting the lights out. Jerrion Grant is going to be great at the next level, in my opinion. You know, who do you see winning this matchup? I mean, I will admit on my bracket, which I mean both of our brackets are busted. I'm not really trying to go off my bracket. I do have Notre Dame winning this game, but you know, the way Wichita State plays defense, and you know, Notre Dame's won their two games by a combined 8 points. And the way Wichita State's been playing, I honestly think Wichita State's going to play this game and get a rematch against Kentucky. And I think, you think Notre Dame's going to win this game, Roscoe, or do you think it's going to be a toss-up and going to be a close game?
I'm going to still stick with my bracket with Notre Dame beating Wichita State. For this Sweet 16, I think I only missed out on 10 or 11 teams. So, I mean, it wasn't completely busted. So I'm going to stick with the picks that that weren't busted. And I'm going to go Notre Dame over Wichita State in the Sweet 16. And my Elite Eight for the Midwest is Kentucky and Notre Dame.
Yeah, I really like the way that Wichita State's been playing. And I can really see them winning this game, even though I would love to see Notre Dame advance. We'll move out west to a Sweet 16 we both predicted, I believe, with Wisconsin, North Carolina. You know, Frank Kaminsky going up against North Carolina, but they did, you know, North Carolina did lose one of their players. Forget the name right now. Broken foot. I'm trying to pull it up right here. Kennedy Meeks. He's most likely out for the Sweet 16 matchup, and he's a forward. He'd be guarding Frank Kaminsky, I believe. So that's going to be big for them not to have. Do you still see Wisconsin pulling this game out, Roscoe? Because, I mean, I think Wisconsin's going to be able to pull it out. You know, what do you think?
No, I still believe that Wisconsin's going to win this game against North Carolina. I haven't seen anything for them to change my prediction so far of them winning this game. But I think they'll, after watching the first couple of rounds and this first weekend, I don't have as much faith in them going to the Final Four, because now I'm actually, you know, really excited to see this Elite Eight possible matchup. But for right now, I do have Wisconsin beating North Carolina.
Yeah, they haven't done it. They haven't done much to make me change my prediction.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, North Carolina being down a player, I don't really, you know, see anything stopping them. You know, one of the hottest teams, Arizona Xavier. Arizona's been playing great. You know, Xavier got some favorable matchups, Ole Miss, Georgia State. You know, Xavier spreads the ball out. They shoot a lot. Arizona, they're built to defend against that. Do you see Arizona keeping it up and winning this game, or do you see Xavier making a surprise Elite Eight appearance?
I think at first I had Arizona losing the Sweet 16 to Baylor, but obviously that's not possible anymore. I do have Arizona winning this game. They've impressed me a lot as well throughout the first weekend. They've been consistent. They've had more offense, I thought, than what I've expected.
They spread the ball real well. They got a really big inside presence. And like you said, I know you mentioned it earlier, you know, Ohio State played them well. The first half ended, it was a two-point game. But, you know, Arizona made adjustments and blew them out. And I think that their inside matchup, you know, the way that they play with the ball inside, I would love to see them match up against Wisconsin. Like you said, I think this Elite Eight could be something great.
I'm going to pick Arizona, and I'm just really hoping we get to see a rematch of last year. Wisconsin and Arizona played last year, which was a great game, and I think this one will also be a great one. Both teams are really similar, mirror-like images from the previous year, haven't changed much. So it's going to be a very, very similar matchup in Wisconsin and Arizona. It's going to be a great game. Really hoping to see it. I don't see even one of these teams losing this week, but we were wrong in the first weekend. We'll probably be wrong this weekend as well. But I do have Wisconsin and Arizona playing in the Elite Eight.
You know, starting with the Friday games, Gonzaga, UCLA, you know, I did predict Gonzaga to be here. Just didn't think that they would get past Iowa State, who's obviously not here anymore. And, you know, honestly didn't even think UCLA would get here. They drew a favorable matchup in UAB. You know, who do you like at a Gonzaga, UCLA? I know who you like, but for the show, I have to ask you politely, Roscoe, do you see Gonzaga moving on, or do you see UCLA winning this game?
You know, I'm going to stick with my pick. I'm going to go Gonzaga over UCLA. I had Gonzaga over SMU to start off my bracket, but SMU lost to UCLA, and UCLA moved on. This is going to be a rematch for Gonzaga. They handled them pretty well early in the regular season. I think they're going to do the same thing. Gonzaga surprised me more in the second round. They looked better in the second round than the first round. So if they can build off of that and continue to do what they did in the second round against Iowa, I think they'll continue to build on this tournament. This is the first time in their last five tournament appearances that they've made it past the first weekend. So this is going to be a hungry team, and I think this is one of the better Gonzaga teams we've seen in a while. With all that being said, I do have Gonzaga moving on to the Elite Eight. I just don't see anything to change my pick. I don't think UCLA is going to win this. And like I said earlier on the show, if there was any team that didn't belong here, it would be UCLA.
Do you think this, do you think it benefits UCLA, you know, for having played this team? You know, do you think it could help them out in a rematch, you know, knowing how they play and so on and so forth?
I think it can help them out. But, I mean, you know, they played them early in the regular season. I think both teams have really changed and gotten better over time. So, I mean, I think it can help them, but it's not the same exact identical team that you played early in the regular season. And I think just Gonzaga has so much more skill than UCLA that it's really going to help them there.
I also have Gonzaga winning. I think Gonzaga will move on, even though I just have some kind of – I have this, like, just March Madness feel that UCLA is going to pull it out and, you know, that UCLA is going to be the only double-digit seed to move on. But I just have that feeling for some reason. but I don't think it'll happen, even though I won't be surprised if it does. March really shouldn't surprise me anymore. But I think Gonzaga shoots the ball too well. They spread it out. They shot really well against Iowa. They look like a better team at second round, I'd have to admit. You know, they kind of scared me, that North Dakota State game. I mean, for a second I thought, you know, North Dakota State had a chance, but
the defense looked shaky, but I mean, the shooting was there.
Yeah, I think Gonzaga will move on. I mean, if you want to have a bounce back game, if you count this as another bounce back game, I mean, UCLA is the team to do it against. I think that they can struggle on defense against UCLA and be able to get away with it. Duke and Utah had this matchup in my other bracket, not this one. But Duke's playing really well. Also, Jahlil Okafor looks amazing. I think he's, in my opinion, the top draft prospect, you know, coming out into the draft. What do you see out of this Duke-Utah game? Do you think this is where Duke flops like they always do, or you think they'll move on to the Elite Eight?
You know, Duke, usually they flop earlier than the Sweet 16, so and they've looked too good this year. I think if they're not going to flop this year. They're just going to get beat by a team that's as good as them or that can play with them. So, I mean, and I don't think that's Utah. But I do have to say, I haven't given Utah much respect in this tournament. I had them losing in the first round to Stephen F. Austin. So, I mean, and I wouldn't have gave them a chance against Georgetown. But with that being said, they beat both of those teams, and now they're facing Duke. But I just don't see Utah beating Duke. Duke has handled both their opponents handedly, beaten Robert Morris by 29 and beaten San Diego State by 19. I don't see it coming to an end this round. And I think that's mainly because I want to see a Duke and Zaggy Elite Eight. And, I mean, that game would just be great. But I do have Duke moving on. I'm going to stick with my bracket, and I'm going to have Duke playing Gonzaga in the Elite Eight.
All right, you know, moving up, one of the hotter teams you mentioned, Michigan State, going up against an Oklahoma team I like. Like I said, Buddy Hield going to be a great prospect in the NBA. Going to be a good matchup, I think, even though I do think Oklahoma is a little bit outmatched in this game. I really can't wait to watch it. I do think Michigan State will pull the game out. I think they look too good to, stop right here. So I do think they'll move on to, the Elite Eight under Tom Izzo, who's been a March Madness freak. You know, he's got a great record in March. You know, do you see Michigan State staying hot, or do you see Oklahoma making a little upset?
You know, because Michigan State beat Virginia, who I had picked to go all the way, I feel like I just have to pick Virginia to win this game as well. However, it wouldn't surprise me if Buddy Hield can just carry Oklahoma into this game and carry them out of it and beating Michigan State. I think this would be a pretty good game, but I think the coaching is just going to out I think Michigan State's coaching is just going to beat Oklahoma when it comes down to it. Izzo is just, he's made this team for March. He's built them all year long. So I have Michigan State moving on to the Elite Eight.
I do agree with that as well, obviously. Just too good of a team right now. You know, one of the hotter teams. Another team that you projected to pull the upset and get there, North Carolina State, and they look really well. You know, they should have lost to LSU. LSU really choked that game away, and then they come out against Villanova and look even better. Playing a good Louisville team who looked shaky in the first round, but then came out in the second round and really impressed in a big victory over Northern Iowa. What do you see out of this North Carolina State-Louisville matchup?
I see a really good game. Both of these teams, I believe, are improving as the tournament's going on. Both of these teams are familiar with each other coming from the ACC play this season. I think they split the season series 1-1, and then I think Louisville may have beat North Carolina State in the conference tournament. I'm not sure. But they are familiar with each other. It's going to be a close game, but I'm going to stick with my pick that I had in my bracket originally. I did have Louisville and North Carolina State, and I had Louisville moving on into the Elite Eight. So I will have Louisville moving on to face Michigan State in the Elite Eight of the East bracket.
I think this is going to be a really great game, especially with Montrezl Harrell going up against North Carolina State's big men. Going to be a really good game. I do have Louisville in one of my brackets, and I really just feel like North Carolina State is going to, keep the March magic going. And I do think North Carolina State's going to win this game in a close matchup, I think. They're shooting the ball real well right now. And I think that's going to carry over, and I think they're going to surprisingly win this game. Not much reasoning to it. I just really think it's going to happen. I know you have Kentucky, Notre Dame, Roscoe. I have Kentucky, Wichita. Who do you think is going to win out of Kentucky and Notre Dame, if that comes apart? You think Kentucky is going to keep it going?
This is one of those things that I haven't seen anything that changed my pick from this Elite Eight. This is what I had scheduled since the beginning. And I do have Kentucky moving on to the Final Four, and I'm going to stick with that. I just believe that's what's going to happen, and I believe Kentucky is the best team in this tournament. And I think we said it since the beginning, if there was one team that they could lose to in this, region, it would be Notre Dame. So I think it's going to be a great game, and I just have Kentucky beating Notre Dame and moving on to the Final Four in Indianapolis.
I do have Kentucky and Wichita State, but I do agree with your outcome as well. I do think Kentucky is going to reach Indianapolis. I don't think that there's much to do, to change that prediction as well. And a lot of analysts are saying that, they only Cincinnati by 13, they look terrible, but I just don't buy that, Anytime you beat somebody handedly in March, I think it's a great. I just think that there's nothing going wrong with that. So I do think that they will reach the Final Four as well. Looking at what could be Wisconsin-Arizona, another great game, we both think is going to happen. Who do you see winning that game? I know you picked Wisconsin originally. Do you still want to stick with that, or do you see some things that might change that?
From a bracket, I would love Wisconsin to win this game. But when I had Wisconsin moving on to the Final Four, I had them playing against a Baylor team who got knocked out of the first round. So, now Wisconsin's going to be going up against an Arizona team who we believe has looked the strongest, and I can agree with that. They have looked as one of the strongest teams in this bracket so far. They've surprised me, and we're both hoping to see this game. And I think if this game does happen, I think Arizona's going to get their payback, and they're going to end up beating Wisconsin and moving on to the Final Four. So I would change my representative from the West to Arizona, and I would have Kentucky and Arizona facing off in Indianapolis in that first round.
I agree as well. I think Arizona keeps it going. I did originally have Arizona. But it's not just about what I predicted. Arizona looks too good right now. I think they'd find a way to, get past Frank Kaminsky and just stop that Wisconsin team. and match up with a Kentucky game and a Kentucky team, and that would be a great matchup, Arizona's defense against Kentucky. I would love to see that, and I just think that's what's going to happen as well. Gonzaga, Duke, we both have that. Do you honestly still see Gonzaga moving on, or do you see?
This is one that I've had locked in since the beginning. This is a Elite Eight, like I did with Kentucky and Notre Dame. This is an Elite Eight that I picked, an Elite Eight that I believe in. So I'm going to still believe in my outcome that Gonzaga makes it to the Final Four. This is another game both of us are really hoping on. I think it can live up to, the expectations, and it could possibly be better than Wisconsin and Arizona. I think it will be just as good. I don't see an Elite Eight matchup being bad or being a bad game. I mean, there's not many of those in March in general. But I do think this Duke-Gonzaga game will be good, and I'm just going to stick with my pick of Gonzaga making it to the Final Four.
Why do you think Gonzaga, can beat Duke? What do you see out of Gonzaga?
I said it in the first show when we were looking over the brackets. They're deep this year. They spread the floor. They have experience of playing with each other. They have a big man who can spread the floor in Wiltshire. He's 6'10". They can bring in a pretty another big guy in Sabonis who is a lefty. Obviously he's stoppable, but, he's got a game to him that's pretty difficult to guard. And then Przemek Karnowski, who can post up with anybody, he's just a big body. I'd like to see that Karnowski-Okafor matchup. This Gonzaga team is just really all around a good team. Lots of experience can, and if they shoot like they have in the first two rounds, because in both rounds they shot well. The defense in the second round against Iowa stepped up more, but they scored 87 points and 86 points. So that would be a very interesting high-scoring matchup with Duke and Gonzaga, and I just feel like Gonzaga would win that game if it came to a shootout because they could stretch the floor and they would have many options. But, Duke would have just as many options. It would be a great game, and I could see it going either way. I believe Gonzaga would pull it out with the experience that this team has.
I'd see Duke winning. I just think Jahlil Okafor can't be stopped. I think if Duke really centers around, running the offense to Jahlil Okafor, I just don't think Gonzaga would be able to defend him. I think he'd be able to keep everything he's doing up. And I just think they'd be able to succeed and, get into the Final Four. But like we think we said on our first show, Gonzaga spreads the ball around real well. And, if anybody can do it, I think Gonzaga, Iowa State, could have done it. So I think Gonzaga can spread the ball around a lot. But, with Duke, with Tyus Jones, Justice Winslow, I think it could be a real fun shootout to watch. But I do think Duke will move on. You have Louisville, Michigan State. I have Michigan State, North Carolina State. Do you still see Michigan State staying hot all the way through?
I don't see them making it to the Final Four because they're going to face a Louisville team who's led by Rick Pitino, just as good as a coach as Tom Izzo. It would be a great coaching matchup and a great game to watch. But I just think Louisville would win this game with Harrell and Rozier and Blackshear. This team would have more skill than Michigan State, and they would have a really good coach. And Rick, so I would see Louisville go into the Final Four over Michigan State. I think that's where it would end for Michigan State.
Well, I know you're praising Rick Pitino, but don't forget about Tom Izzo now.
Oh, no, trust me. I know Tom Izzo is great, and, he's made this run to the Elite Eight with a team who, isn't all that talented, I believe. but I think, you know, the talent for Louisville is just way better. And then you have a great coach on top of that with Pitino. Izzo, phenomenal, great coach, but just not as much talent. And I think the talent would just be too much for Michigan State to handle. But, I mean, it's going to be a great coaching matchup. It's going to be a chess match, and these two teams are going to, I mean, fight to the whistle. And this Elite Eight matchup, just like the rest of them, is going to be just as good. But I do have Louisville moving on to the Final Four.
I would have Michigan State winning that game against North Carolina State, is my opinion. But against Louisville, I'd still bank on, you know, Michigan State. Travis Trice is just, you know, the Shabazz Napier of this year. You know, he's come out of nowhere, and he's just leading them through everything. Against Virginia, he played 39 minutes, which if anyone doesn't know college basketball, that's 39 of the 40 minutes in the whole game. He's just playing out of his mind. He's leading the team real well. And I just really like what he's doing. I don't know if Louisville have an answer for that. And I know you praise Rick Pitino, who I think is a hell of a coach, but Tom Izzo, on the other hand, is a great coach as well. And I think that, they're one of the Cinderella teams to keep on going. And I think that they will make it to the Final Four. But then again, you know, everything we're predicting is probably going to be wrong. And, you know, we'll be looking at a West Virginia Final Four against Xavier. You know, I don't know. But I do see Michigan State moving on. Kentucky, Arizona, Roscoe in your Final Four. You know, does Arizona have the best chance to knock this Kentucky team down? Or do you think, you know, what do you think?
I actually felt like Arizona has a worse chance than Wisconsin would have had. I think Wisconsin and Notre Dame are the two best teams the two teams that have the best chances to beat Kentucky. I know Arizona's hot, but I feel like they would need to be more offense reliant instead of defense reliant to beat this Kentucky team. Kentucky's defense is great. Arizona's defense is great. But, I mean, Kentucky's offense is going to get the job done. Yeah, it's going to be a low-scoring game, and I felt the same way when Kentucky would have played against Virginia in a national championship. And looking back when we first did the brackets, I had Kentucky beating Virginia because Virginia didn't have enough offense. And I feel the same way about Arizona, even though, you know, they've impressed me a lot with how they scored, you know, in the tournament so far. But I just think Kentucky's too good of a team. I think they're the best team in the bracket. And I don't see them losing to Arizona. I just have them moving on to the national championship.
I agree as well. I'm going all out of talent. I mean, I don't know how anyone can pick against Kentucky right now, no matter who's playing them. And I just think Kentucky will, win that game as well and move on. Arizona, great ball movement is really what I like. I think that they have the ability to, you know, really have teams on their heels. But John Calipari and Kentucky, I do think that they can win that game, and they will win that game and get to the championship where we predicted having them. On the other side of the bracket, you know, Louisville, Gonzaga, I have Duke, Michigan State, completely different matchup. So, you know, we'll go on your end first. You know, if we see Louisville, Gonzaga, you know, who do you think can win that game? You know, not really a Final Four that anyone really predicted, but who do you think would win out of those two?
I mean, looking at it, I don't think anybody really would have seen this coming, and nobody would have picked these two teams to face in the Final Four. But after watching and, you know, readjusting a few things, that's who I have going to the Final Four from the East and the South. I think it'd be an interesting matchup, and I think Gonzaga would have more steel all around. Not sure how it would pan out, but I don't have nothing to pick this game off of, except that, I would like to see Gonzaga move on, so I'm going to go Gonzaga, but honestly, this is just a toss-up, and, most likely this won't happen, this matchup. But I think Gonzaga would move on to the national championship and face Kentucky.
I'm looking at Duke, Michigan State, and real tough game for me to pick. I really like Duke, really like Michigan State. This would all go down to, Jahlil Okafor. Duke and also Kentucky as well. They both have two big men who really, they can run an offense through. I really, really think Duke can move on. Justice Winslow, you got a Plumlee coming off the bench. I really could see Duke moving on to the national championship. They've done it before, with Coach K. And I can see them moving on. Tyus Jones reminds me of Alfred Payton. They both play great defense. They both pass the ball. They aren't very offensive minded. They don't score first. And I could see them really locking down Christian Grice, who's really been Michigan State's, bread and butter. He's really been the key to that team right now. And I could see, Duke moving on. And, we both have Kentucky playing, so we have that settled, If Gonzaga can find their way to the championship, do you honestly see them beating Kentucky?
Honestly,
and being the national champions?
I think it would be the worst national championship in about, I don't know how long. I think Kentucky would just shellac them, and that's coming from a Gonzaga fan.
Wow.
I wouldn't expect anything. I would probably expect a 52-75 score.
Wow.
Just because
okay. Why is that?
The talent. And, Gonzaga may have five guys that can come out there, but Kentucky's going to have 10 and just continue to roll with it. I don't see Kentucky losing, and I have them winning the national championship still. This time over Gonzaga instead of Virginia, but, it could be over Michigan State, North Carolina State, Duke, or Utah. It could be over anybody. I see Kentucky winning the national championship game.
Comes down to just talent, and Kentucky just has it all. They do have a little group of guys who they've played together for a while. A few of them. And I as well would see Kentucky winning that game against Duke, Gonzaga versus anybody. I still think Kentucky, is really unbeatable right now. I think that they just really are playing great ball, and they're just going to complete the perfect season and do it. They have too good of a team, too deep of a talent level to choke up like this. And, going up against Duke, I would see that matchup, really focusing on, the Harrison twins and, the backcourt. I think the front court would be a big of a deal. I think Jahlil Okafor and Cauley Stein could lock each other up.
I think it would become a big deal when they put out three or four big men that could play with, Duke. Like you said and like I've said, the talent, it's just the talent. But you can go on.
Yeah, it's the talent. That's just, that's the talent is where Kentucky really just impressed me. They have too much talent.
And they have a great coach. They just have it all.
Yeah, I just see them being national champions against over everybody. Would be very surprised if they slip up and lose. Next week we'll be picking our Final Four again just to keep you guys updated and, predictions about it because, we could be wrong. There's such a cluster right now, and you know, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it's just, you know, the NCAA tournament's burnt me out. I'm just pretty much ready for opening day, and then I'm ready for the draft. You know. Or NBA playoffs. I can talk NBA playoffs as well.
I think anything would be fun to talk. The March Madness is definitely the most hectic thing in sports, probably. So, I mean, I think March Madness and, you know, the fantasy frenzy, they kind of hit us back-to-back, and it's been a crazy sports world for the past month or so. But definitely very interesting sports world, and it's always hectic, and it's always fun to cover, so that's what we'd have to look forward to.
Opinion on, opinion on the NFL owners meeting. If you didn't hear it, you know, they came out and said the Browns and the Falcons are going to both face severe penalties, very severe penalties, to be announced next week. What is your opinions on that? You know, are you prepared to see both of these teams lose draft picks over some pretty stupid stuff?
I mean, there's rules against it. And if you broke the rules, something has to happen. I saw on Twitter a Cleveland beat writer put they're most likely going to lose a fourth round pick. If it's anything more than that, it would be a shock. And I really haven't heard much about the Atlanta Falcons deal. But, I mean, both teams broke rules, and they need to face penalties for it. When you break rules, you got to pay for it. So if they think it should be severe, then the NFL is going to find their way to punish them, and that's going to be that. Don't really see how they could go wrong. Both teams deserve to be punished, and we'll see how severe it is.
Yeah, definitely some stupid things, you know. Really pointless.
I mean, if you text a coach to the sideline, or if you put in artificial sounds in your dome or your stadium, it's stupid things, but it's rules, and they need to be followed, and that's what it is. But, they'll figure it out, and we'll hear from it within the next week or so. I think the NFL will start picking up after that. We're about a little over a month away from draft day, so that'll be interesting.
Very, very true. Well, do you have anything else to add, Roscoe, or anything else you'd like to discuss on this wonderful time of sports?
Well, I don't know if you saw, but the Chicago White Sox did name their opening day starter, and it was Jeff Samardzija. And against the Royals, who will be having Yordano Ventura on the mound, who will be the second youngest opening day starter in Royals history. How do you like that matchup? Will you be tuning into that one for sure, or you have better opening day matchups to watch?
That's a definitely must-watch game. I'd have to pull up the schedule, which I might do it now, just to see who else. But, I mean, pitching-wise,
I think it's
a night
game,
matchup.
But I don't know who else
you
plays
have
at that
right
time.
Here. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be hard, you know. I don't know if I want to check out Jeff Samardzija or Bartolo Colon go up against Max Scherzer.
What? You know, and then that's another thing. How do you feel about the Mets coming out and saying we're going to go Bartolo instead of Matt Harvey coming back, or even Jacob DeGrom? They're going to go
Bartolo. Oh, I love
Bartolo
it. Actually,
of all people, you know. I know a Mets beat writer said it'll be half off of senior citizens at the game because we decided to throw our oldest pitcher on opening day.
I am a fan of it. I mean, just because of the situation they're in, I mean, you know, not throwing Matt Harvey, I agree with. He's a, you know, coming out and throwing Matt Harvey, you know, you look at what he did in the All-Star game in 2013. You know, he came out Citi Field and he just gunned it. I mean, he was throwing the lights out. He was just trying so hard. They're just trying to avoid him hurting himself in his first start.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob DeGrom is basically a, you know, he's a second-year player. They just didn't want to throw him out there. So, I mean, they're going with Bartolo. I mean, maybe if John Neese is ready, they could have thrown John Neese. I mean, Bartolo doesn't have the stuff to be an ace. I just think it's a precautionary move. Interesting one at that. I mean, I won't have Bartolo on my fantasy team or anything. So
I know we're
but
both
definitely
looking forward.
You know, definitely looking forward to Jeff Samardzija, Yordano Ventura, possibly James Shields, Clayton Kershaw, Corey Kluber, Dallas Keuchel. I'll watch that one as well. So there's a few opening day matchups that I really can't
and
wait to see.
I can't think off the top of my head who the Tigers face on opening day, but one
That'll
of our
David Price.
Favorites,
David Price
on the mound.
Versus Phil Hughes in Minnesota.
Okay. It won't be a great matchup, but it would be nice to watch David Price.
Not going to be Colorado. Kyle Kendrick versus Kyle Loesch. That's going to be a great matchup.
Yeah.
Rick Porcello, Cole Hamels would be fun to watch as well. Cole Hamels against Boston, that'll be interesting. I mean, if Cole Hamels was traded to Boston, he would have been opening day starter in Philadelphia in a Red Sox uniform.
I think that would have
been
more
fun
interesting
to watch.
Oh,
that would have been great. I would have tuned into that one in a heartbeat.
And I know we're both looking forward to opening night, April 5th. John Lester and
Adam Wainwright
on the mound.
Most likely.
First opening night game in Wrigley Field, and they put those two on showcase. What a pitching matchup. And I think we both agree that Chris Bryant should be in the lineup, but we'll see how that pans out. Once we get the news that he's either sent down or he's, you know, scratched into the lineup, pinned in, we'll definitely talk about that, I feel.
How do you like it that, you know, are the final four games that Saturday, right? There should be
yeah,
April
the final
4th.
Four games on the 4th. Then opening night is the 5th. Opening day is the 6th,
along
with
the national championship.
With the national championship that night. So, a slam-packed weekend, lots of action. I can't wait. I know you can't wait. Be very interesting.
It's going to be a great week for sports coming up. Also, Taijuan Walker basically shut down the Cubs tonight. And Carlos Rondon struck out 9 in 4 innings.
I did see Rodon just lay down.
I did watch
they were
that.
Playing
that
Kansas City. Who were they playing?
They're playing Kansas City. He's got
Kansas City, and I saw he struck out 5 batters in a row. I believe
he's got some. That's a
nasty movement on his pitches.
His slider. Yeah, his slider's disgusting. So, should be fun. Next week, we'll probably be going live Tuesday. We'll recap everything, predict our final four. we haven't, you know, blown our brains out because of the surprisingness of March Madness. Just been crazy. Anything else, Roscoe, that you could think of in the world of athletics?
Besides James Harden looking like an MVP and basketball coming to an end, and the NBA season coming to an end and rolling into the postseason.
Lovie Smith entered at Jameis. So I do think Jameis will be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
There is some crazy talk. I don't know where they get it from half the time. This NFL Network and the NFL, I don't know where they get it, but, you know, just crazy talk of quarterbacks moving around. And I don't even want to mention it because some of it's just retarded, insane, so many words to describe it, but we'll see how things pan out. But the sports world is definitely heating up. Currently watching OKC and San Antonio, and San Antonio is just looks like they're picking it up before the postseason and getting ready to make another run. So that's interesting.
It's always fun to check them out. You know, it will be interesting to see if Oklahoma City can get back Kevin Durant for the postseason. I will be keeping an eye on that very closely.
They did shut down Kevin Durant, it seemed like. Is it for the regular season or just temporarily?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's no announcement, but if they do get to the postseason, it'll be interesting to see if he comes back.
Mm-hmm. I figured they would if they make it there. But for some reason, I don't see him coming back in the regular season. But you never know. I mean, they said Paul George was going to come back, and that's even looking more questionable by the day. So you just never know with injury, and you never know what to expect. So just let it be, and we'll see what happens.
And Golden State looks like they're playing out of their mind. So, Golden State is not slowing down. Not at all.
Golden State-Portland game last night. Very, looked like Portland was dominating the game. And then in the third quarter, just Golden State outscored them and took over the game. And they did the same thing against the Wizards earlier this week, outscored them in the third quarter, took over the game. So it seems like the Warriors' thing is take over and get an advantage in that third quarter and get a comfortable lead in the fourth. But they've been on a roll all year, and it looks like they're going to continue to do it.
Agreed as well. But should be fun. But
for those wondering, the NBA playoffs do start on April 18th, so less than a month away. So, like we've been saying, very excited time for sports.
While the NFL draft is in a month, March, April 30th, maybe? I think. Yep, April 30th through May 2nd. So should be a fun draft as well.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. But like I said, guys, we will be on next Tuesday as well to talk some more tournament basketball, get into some baseball talk as well, you know, to fill the show up, definitely make some of our spring trainings, probably our spring training hot, who's not, you know, who not to worry about, like Madison Bumgarner being terrible. I don't think that's going to stay, you know, that kind of thing. So
However,
yeah.
Edwin Jackson will always be terrible, and don't ever worry about him being good in his life.
As long as he's driving his vehicle to the baseball games
and he still
stuck
sucks
in
at that because he doesn't know how to read directions.
Yeah, I don't know what's worse for Cubs fans and Edwin Jackson or for Braves fans and BJ Upton. I think they each know they each know pain. Like they each know that type of pain.
It's something we struggle with.
Get over it. But and Beat the Streak starting up as well. We will be doing Beat the Streak segments. Who to pick, who not to pick. If you don't know what Beat the Streak is, get a hit 57 days in a row, you win $5.6 million.
Yes.
So yeah. But like I said, guys, not to linger on, next Tuesday, catch us probably on 8:30. Give us a podcast download. Give us a follow on Twitter, and we will see you guys then. So thanks for listening, and feel free to give us a follow and call into the show. Thank you all very much.